same haircut. Please welcome John Everett. Give him a round of applause.
You can take that as well. There you go. You can have that one too. And even that. Give you all the stuff off the platform. How's that sound?
I only have two hands, John.
I know. It's fine. That's lovely. Now, when you're saying same haircut, are you saying my haircut's the same as Pastor Phil's? Is that what you're saying? Pretty much. Do you feel the love? We are brothers. Aren't we, Pastor Phil? Indeed. And same hairstyle. So I've got just a slightly bit more than what you've got, but not much. I won't boast about that whatsoever. It is. In fact, when I do cut my hair, Jenny says, why do you want to look like a criminal all the time when you're cutting it down to a number one? But I don't mind at all. And just in light of things, and the scripture that actually is on my Bible app that is for today is this one. It's out of 1 Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So, are we children of God? Right, we're going to talk about them, children, this morning. Just get rid of that off of there. Turn that one off. Now, earlier in the year, Pastor Phil and Lisa gathered the leaders and leadership around and were wanting to share their vision for the church as such. And when they did that, they asked an opening, what the statement, the kingdom of God, means to each of us. Now, the scripture that came to mind with me was in Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, there were other scriptures that came out as well. But the heart of it was that they're leading us in this year is out of Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13, and in the Lord's Prayer. And out of there in particular, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what I'm going to speak about a little bit this morning, about your kingdom come and what the significance of that statement is to each and every one of us in our lives, and how do we see the kingdom come? What can we do and how can we participate in seeing God's kingdom come? Some questions, isn't it, really? And then another scripture that came out also is in Matthew 6 as well, in verses 6, 28 to 34. Verse 33, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, and the context of that is the few verses before when it's talking about clothes, about food, what we'll eat, what we'll drink. And the response being, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So we don't need to worry about those sorts of things. We don't even have to worry about tomorrow, because it says that in verse 34. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It does, doesn't it? So why get worried about and upset about what's going to happen tomorrow, what you think might happen tomorrow, or in the next 5 minutes or half an hour? Now, the kingship of God in relations to Jesus' teaching. Now, the word kingdom is found 55 times in Matthew, 20 times in Mark, 46 times in Luke, and 5 times in John. Now, when allowance is made for the use of the word to refer to secular kingdoms and for parallel verses of the same sayings of Jesus, the phrase the kingdom of God and the equivalent expressions as the kingdom of heaven or his kingdom occurs about 80 times. The word king is used also of Jesus with considerable frequency, but only really with reference to God, and the verb to rule is rare. Now, these statistics show the great importance of the concept in the teaching of Jesus. According to Matthew 3:2, John the Baptist also spoke of the kingdom of heaven in words that anticipated those of Jesus. And Mark's introductory summary of Jesus' message made it plain that the kingdom was his central theme. And Mark 1:15 says, "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Matthew 4:17, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come.'" Jesus stated that his task was to preach the gospel of the kingdom in Luke 4:43. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And that's echoed also in Matthew 4:23. Jesus went out throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And it goes on. There's more scriptures that I have down in here. And even in Acts 1:3 it says, "After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive, and he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." It is an important theme. There can be no doubt that the phrase "the kingdom of God" expresses the main theme of his teaching. So what is it when we're talking about the kingdom of heaven? Well, God's rule. It's really the kingly rule of God in the lives of people and nations. It refers to the recognition of the authority of God rather than a definite geographical area, and begins with the ministry of Jesus Christ. And even in here, the spiritual reign or authority of God. Now, Friday, the 25th of February, which is only a couple of weeks ago, was a really important day for Jeannie and I. We were inducted into the Chosen Youth Hall of Fame. It was really good. It was a great day, great night. We participated in one of their games, and we were introduced to them as well. And it was a really good and interesting and challenging night. The game that they actually played was out here on the grass over there, and it was this thing of where you had to run to a central box. There was teams, four teams, and they had to go and grab a ball and put it into a box and get as many balls in that box as they could. Then time was called, or when the balls were supposed to have gone from that middle box. And then it was open slather to go and steal those said balls from other people's boxes. Now, I can't think who's... Was it Callum that I was standing next to? It was Callum's team, yeah. Well, his guys took off and left their box unprotected. And I thought, well, this is not good. And all these people coming in from other teams. Olivia was one from another team, and another young guy from another, and like when I say young guy, this guy is built, like he's taller than me. He's only a youth, and he is built. He really is. So I thought, no, I'm going to protect this box of balls. So I just dived on it, and, well, I picked it up and tried to hold it there. But they were coming in from the side and left and right and carrying on, trying to get these balls out, taking them away from Callum's team. So I thought, this is not working. And I was allowing Callum's guys to get the balls in, so I just laid on the ground with this under my tummy, you know, fairly robust. But talk about trying to get moved off. Olivia was trying to drag me off. This young guy, Mark, was trying to drag me off just to get at these jolly balls. And yeah, it was a great time. It was great fun. But then the great thing about it was the fact that after that, they all gathered in here, and Olivia and Cameron were leading a devotion. And they relayed the actions and the emotions of what was actually happening out there to what the kids, you know, how did you feel about this? How did you feel about that? And they were talking about being a peacekeeper or a peacemaker, you know, because it got fairly robust and you know, fairly good actions that were going on out there. Phil and Jeannie were just standing there watching. John was participating. Yeah. John can't avoid games like that. He held himself right back to that final part of it. I didn't participate until then. But anyway, so what came out of it is that a peacekeeper is a person who tries to keep or maintain peace, especially a member of a force or organisation that actively works to stop or prevent conflict between nations or communities. And, you know, we can think of the UN peacekeepers and the likes. And peacekeepers love a good compromise. Whereas a peacemaker is a person who brings about peace, especially by reconciling adversaries. Now, Olivia and Cameron's encouragement to the youth and to us that were there, of course, is for us to be peacemakers. And it made me think, which is always a challenge for me to think, that a peacemaker needs to be able to confront. Fair? True? We don't have to be looking for a compromise. We have to be prepared to confront. And that's not always easy for anyone. And that confrontation, of course, needs to be in love. Yes, you at times need to go in wielding the sword to cut to the heart of the issue, which then can be exposed and slashed and burnt by God's word, and that in itself will bring about healing and peace in a situation, because Hebrews 4:12, as we all know, says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." And James 3:18 says about the benefit of being a peacemaker. "Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." And what is the kingdom of God? That statement that springs to mind with me, it's a kingdom of righteousness and of joy and of peace. In who? The Holy Spirit and in the God, yes. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16 is a scripture that has come to us over our time as being involved in church or in eldership and things like that as well. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that's what we are commissioned to do, not just as elders, but as a people, as Christians, we're commissioned to thoroughly equip everyone for God's work. So where does this lead us in regard to the kingdom of God? Well, you can just go deeper and deeper and deeper in. And I was sat there and I looked in my Bible Gateway that I go and go through and find up and look in different dictionaries and encyclopedias of the Bible and the likes. And there was just this list in one part of it, and it's titled Jesus Christ, Kingdom of. Now, this is the present and future realm in which Jesus Christ exercises full authority and through which he triumphs over all opposition. And I just have some statements that I'm just going to rattle through, because there's lots of scriptures that you could go to and refer to. That's why I opened with the word for today in that Bible Gateway app, was the fact of meditating on God's scripture and on his word and speaking about them and talking about them wherever you may be, whatever you might be doing. So that's going to be your homework later on. So Jesus Christ's kingdom is a heavenly kingdom. It's not of this world. The kingdom was given to him by God. The kingdom is his by right. Jesus Christ inherits the kingdom promised to David. Jesus Christ reveals God's kingdom on earth. Jesus Christ brought in God's kingdom. Miracles are a sign of the kingdom. Parables are a sign of the kingdom. Jesus Christ exercises kingdom authority today. Believers enter Jesus Christ's kingdom immediately. As soon as you profess your faith in him and ask him to be Lord and Savior, you are immediately in the kingdom of God. Believers are redeemed from the kingdom of darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ rules over every authority now. Jesus Christ's kingdom will be fully established at his return. His kingdom will come with power at a specific moment. His kingdom will replace all earthly authority. All creation will acknowledge Jesus Christ's kingship. His kingship lasts forever. The peace and prosperity of all creation is through his kingdom and only through his kingdom. And we look at the turmoil that is happening within not only our nation but in the nations of the world and the war in Ukraine and what is going on. The only way that peace can come into any situation in this world is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And that's it. We can speak peace, we can hope for peace, but unless we're like the Ukrainian Christians that James put up on Facebook, in the midst of that turmoil, are praying. And prayer will bring about change and bring about relief and strength in what they are going through. One of my colleagues on Friday, in the afternoon, asked me if I considered myself religious, as this was a question he'd asked some Christian friends or flatmates. And the reason being was that they'd replied, no, they don't, and he wanted to know my thoughts on that subject. Well, I replied my usual, I like to think I'm not religious, but rather I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and follow his teachings and his word. But I could be religious in ways that I religiously go to church. I religiously do this, or I have this other action that I religiously do. So I could be termed religious. But then again, I said to him as well, I said, look, you could, get a debate going with your friends in regard to being religious or not. Because, we like to think that we're not religious because of that Christ dealt harshly with the religious of his time. And he was, because what were they doing? They were keeping people burdened with following rules and regulations and lots of different edicts that they had. And then again, I said to him, well, I would like to be seen religious in the manner seen in James. And it's James 1, verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So I'd like to think that we're all religious in that aspect, but we're not religious in the aspect of burdening people with rules and regulations, but rather we're religious in expounding that their faith in Jesus Christ can set them free and give them life and life abundant, and they can know that kingdom of joy and of peace and of righteousness. I nearly left scrolling and I lost my place, sorry. Just got to hit it and it disappears. It just goes up or down or wherever it may be. At least it didn't go blank on me. Now, the kingdom of God is and will be a kingdom of peace. Peace between people. Now, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 verses 1 right through to chapter 7 verse 29 is often thought of as a description of life in the kingdom. So the challenge to myself and to you that started off with Olivia and Cameron and challenging and asking in regard to what's a peacemaker and difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper has brought out this homework for us all to do. So the challenge to myself and to you is that we will be kingdom-minded and live according to Christ's teachings. Because if we do reap the reward of spending eternity with God and every born-again believer. Sue, I'm not going to be long. You might want to turn the coffee on. Thought I'd better give Sue warning. And as I said, because if we do, we reap the reward of spending eternity with God and every born-again believer. So I've got some homework to read and meditate on over the next couple of weeks and to talk about and discuss, as in the light of Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. So in closing, I was just going to read to you out of those chapters, verses 5 through 1 verse 3 to chapter 7 verse 29. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to read the whole lot. I'm just going to go back to Hebrews 4:12 and say, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And I just want to read those first 12 verses out of Matthew 5, which we title the Beatitudes. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for this, in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen and amen. Be prepared. Be prepared for persecution. All right? I don't know whether it's going to come to the state of being sawn in half like some of the prophets were. Some of them underwent horrific deaths. Christians, even this day, are still being martyred because of their faith and their belief. We in the Western world have been immune from it, but the day may well be coming. And further on, when you actually go through, my Bible gives highlights, or actually when I was going through this, it was going through Matthew 5 and right through 7, and it gave highlights, just headings over different verses that are in there in regard to what Christ was teaching about. And it talked about salt and life, salt and light, then the fulfillment of the law, murder, adultery, divorce, oaths, eye for an eye, love for enemies, give to the needy, prayer, fasting, treasures in heaven, do not worry, judging others, ask, seek, knock, the narrow and wide gates, true and false prophets, true and false disciples, and the wise and foolish builders. So you've got a couple of weeks of homework there at least before I preach again on the 20th, isn't it, that I'm back on preaching. And I'll bring back in some of this. But I encourage you, and especially those that are young in the Lord or young in Christ, to actually go through those and know that if you're going to live by those principles, you're living kingdom principles. You're living what Christ wants us to live and how he wants us and what our attitudes are to be, not only amongst ourselves as believers, but in our workplaces and in the world and whoever we come in contact with. He wants us to be ready with an answer when somebody asks us a question. He wants us to be open to his Holy Spirit, that we will have the right word and words to say into people's lives that will bring about encouragement, that will bring about life, and that will cut off the clouds of depression that we see over people, that will cut off sickness, because we are his hands and his feet. We are living and letting Christ live through our lives. We are bringing healing not only to our lives but to other people's lives. We have been given his authority. Ephesians 4:11, 16, in closing, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Not just the head, but each part, and we are each a part of that body and the wider body of Christ. Not just this fellowship here, but the wider body in this community here in Blenheim, the wider body in Marlborough, in the South Island, in New Zealand, and the wider body in the world. So, I thank you, Father, for your word, because, Lord, your word is the truth and it brings life. I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, that we can meditate on your words, Lord, that, Lord, as we do this, we will grow and we will grow in you. And that, Lord, we pray too that your Holy Spirit will speak in and through our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you, Callum.